Hi, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. First, I have a real quick sponsor announcement, and then we'll dive right in. I have Aaron Doherty that we're talking about modern digital marketing trends, and I'm looking forward to hearing everybody's feedback. I want to welcome everybody to the podcast. Today, I have Aaron Doherty as our guest, and Aaron is a marketing executive that has a lot of experience in today's modern marketing environment with MarTech platforms and what the current digital marketing environment and landscape is calling for. So thanks so much for joining today. It's really great to talk with you. So what do you want to tell everybody a little bit about what you're working on right now?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Thanks for having me, Marianne. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
For right now, actually, I've recently joined an agency as a tech and data strategist, Market One. They're a global agency with about 500 people working for them. So really excited to be part of that team, driving technology strategy and helping large organizations to be more data-driven in their decisioning, which, of course, comes with it, the whole infrastructure problem of capturing the right data, disseminating the right data, making sure we're using it to drive decisions on all the levels of the business and stuff. So it's a lot of fun, actually.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, and that's kind of, we were just talking about that. Like, there's so much data and insights that a lot of these companies have access to within their tech stack. But how do you get that down to a level of executing on that data so that it's meaningful and actually drives revenue?
So yeah, like it's hard.
Yeah, like getting it to the sales team. Like, how does the sales team use this data? Because, one of the things I find is often organizations, they have a tech stack, whatever it might be, is marketing automation. They've got their CRM, and they have a lot of other things that together are generating a lot of insight about an organization. So there's really two things, from a frontline sales standpoint, is first off, how do you get that information to the sales team so that they have visibility of it? And then how do you empower the sales team to have those real soft skills that's needed to be able to take that information and bake it into a unique conversation with that organization?
Yeah. And let me just say too, like, I've never had success telling a salesperson how to do their job, right? As a marketer, I just know that's the probably the worst mistake that you can make, right? So it's sort of, you need to bring them along on the journey. And I think everybody's like this. I don't think it's unique to say, somebody comes in and says, hey, here's this data that's going to tell you how to do things better. And people are sort of naturally resistant to that.
Right.
We're human. It happens. I think the way to start is probably, I guess, in my experience, to bring people along for the ride. Say, hey, this is a way that I can help you get commission a lot easier than you have been in the past. Is this something you'd be interested in? Do you want to learn more? Can we talk more about this? And people, people respond to that. Of course, they want their jobs to be easier. They want, more big fish to come with less effort. And salespeople know, it's the one thing that salespeople are awesome at, besides selling, of course, is finding the easiest way to do a thing.
Right. Yeah, there's that whole with them, right?
Right.
Like, and that's the thing with even things like CRM utilization. And, that's been around for, decades now. And still, it's an area that gets a lot of resistance is utilization. But if somebody understands how this actually benefits you, this puts the system to work for you, and you show them how to do that, and you show them examples of how that does actually work in their behalf, then you can get a much higher level of adoption. And the same with data, because there's so much. I know it, and the way that the systems generate data isn't necessarily intuitive or quick to review and apply into a conversation. So, you know, for example, you might have, you know, records of their visits on sites, but, you know, is somebody going to sit there and granularly go through that kind of reporting? You know, how can you distill that down to something that's very meaningful? What are some ways that you've been able to apply data within records where sales reps can actually take that and do something with it?
Yeah, that's an awesome question, actually. So let me just start with a distinction. So there's reporting and then there's insights, right? And both involve data. And reporting is like, how did my whatever do? You know, how many
right.
calls did I make in a day, or you know, that sort of stuff. And insights is the sort of the counterpart to that, where it's like, what is the optimum number of calls to make in a day? How many calls should I be making, right?
Right.
How well does this particular lead source convert? So I think that sort of gives my answer away, right? The best way to align on the use of data is through aligning on the question. You know, what are we trying to do better? What are we trying to understand? What are we trying to, you know, sort of infer with the information that we have? And that is, I think that's the thing that sort of creates that visceral reaction to just screens and screens of charts and tables, et cetera.
Yeah.
People look at it and they're like, well, that's data. You should just see what you see. But really, I think people who are in charge of driving the data decisioning need to take it on themselves to really set the tone. What is the question we're trying to answer here? Are we
right.
simply looking at performance, or are we genuinely trying to find a better way to do the thing that we're doing really good today, but we want to know, you know, what the 1%, 2%, maybe 10% way that we can do it a little bit better. So
yeah. You know, it's interesting because, like, so, you know, let's just take a campaign, just, you know, a single instance of a campaign, and that campaign might generate, you know, X amount of records that fall into these categories. So, you know, how does that transition into a selling environment where that data is meaningful? Because, you know, one of the things that I've noticed over, you know, since everything has moved into a SaaS environment and that it is that all records are basically a link. And so a really hot lead that has really high interest is a link, just like some white paper of somebody messing around, killing time at their desk. So, you know, how do you differentiate that? And that's really how a lot of stuff falls through the cracks.
Yeah.
You know, also the speed of time, you know, people just don't have the time anymore to go do a bunch of work to try to figure out what something means. So, you know, for example, you know, there might be records that come over from a certain event or a certain campaign element. And so how does the rep know exactly what that was? Are they going to go and click through and figure out and spend a bunch of time trying to understand? It's like, no, they're going to dive in. And if they right out of the gate start having a lot of bad experiences with that data, you know, they'll go back to something that is more productive. Where
yeah.
if they would have understood it a little more, that could have been a whole different discussion. And I get a lot of calls like that. I actually am in a very interesting space because I do demand gen, you know, that's what my company does, but I'm also a CEO that everybody wants to sell stuff to. So I get a lot of sales calls, and, you know, it's kind of funny. It always is very interesting to me to see how companies approach this. I got the worst sales call. I get a lot of worst sales calls. I actually have a post on my LinkedIn articles. I got the worst sales call, but I've probably got about 15 worst ones since that were that level of bad. But the thing that happens, like just, I think it was yesterday, I got a call and the person said, you know, we sent you an email yesterday with a link to a white paper and I was calling to see what you thought about it. And I'm like, okay, so you're going to call me a day after I got something I didn't want anyway to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's, I said, I haven't even got to that. I mean, I don't even know what it is. And you caught me at my desk and, you know, it's like, this is not going to be a good call for you. So
that's the thing.
You know, yeah. And he could have called and said, hey, I don't know if you even saw it. We sent you a white paper on this and that. You know, so, okay. And I wanted to talk to you about this. Right. So if he would have known a little bit about my company, why am I even in this list? Why is my company in this list? What about me is part of their customer profile? And what do they know about me? And then have build a conversation around that, which is data that they have. You know, they can see, did I open it? Did I click on it? Whatever it is. And then take that data and build a conversation around it rather than call to create a tech support call where we're talking about this email that I did or didn't get and do I need to resend it and did I click on it? No, I mean, that's a ridiculous waste of resources to have people calling for stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it happens all the time. and as companies add more technology and as they're adding more tools, it's like adding more tools isn't the solution. It's how to empower people to use the insights that they have in a very easy way. I know a lot of times I you know, when we work with clients, I put things in a few different formats. We have it structured. I actually worked with an organizational psychologist to build things in a way that addresses the population of sales reps, that everybody that doesn't like to consume deep dive data to the people that want a lot of insight and data into what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to factor that in. Every organization has that, where they've got people that, yeah, they're going to spend the time. They're going to do the research. They're going to look up their accounts. They're going to look up the people that are in that meeting. And then you've got other people that are just going to get in there and, you know, kind of shoot from the hip until they know that this is worth spending some research time on. So
that context piece is I feel like it's the thing that's missing, right? So there was a world that was sort of just fading as I was coming into sales and marketing where the prospect genuinely like hadn't made up their mind by the time you had them on the phone, right? The internet sort of was like becoming a thing. All of these consumer reviews and review sites like G2Crowd that we sort of depend on today to get that consumer insight weren't really a thing at that point. And sales people still could expect to do a reasonable amount of selling, convincing that this is a thing you should pay attention to, right?
Right.
But you take the world that we live in now, right, and that experience that you talked about where they sent you a white paper and then follow up the next day to see if you read it. Basically, they're saying, hey, I sent you some homework, and I'm just checking to see if you did it, right?
Right, yeah.
I'm out on that. Like, I don't want to do homework. But you know what? The homework that I do want to do is for purchase decisions that I've already sort of convinced myself that I'm going to execute on, right? So right now I'm looking at a home gym setup, and I know I'm going to buy something. And as I go through the different sites, I'm looking at, you know, Rogue. I'm looking at a variety of different fitness equipment sites, and I know that there's a product out there that's going to fit my exact needs. I just sort of haven't found it yet. But when I contact the company, like the majority of consumers in the world today, 90% of my research is going to be done. I'm going to have my mind made up about whether or not I want to make this decision. And I think the modern sales rep, the modern marketer sort of like has been forced to live in this world for a while, but the modern sales rep, there's still some, you know, some ground to cover on that front. Knowing the context of who your prospect is in the sense of, they've done their research by the time they're answering your phone call. They know what they need or what they don't need. And your job is really to not be tech support, as you say, but to be like a helpful resource. How can I help you
right.
get to your end state? How can I be your concierge on whatever it is you're looking to buy?
Yeah. And that's a great term. Exactly. How can I be your concierge? And the way, you know, and your internal customer is really your sales organization, because that I look at it like, how can I empower them? How can I help them to make a good decision with the data that has been generated for them? Like one of the things, you know, I was talking about earlier, how things are all a link, right? And so stuff falls through the cracks. Like I remember this gave me a lot of insight as to how things fall through the cracks. Is we were doing a program with a company that within a quarter, 50% of what was in their pipeline came from us. Okay, mm-hmm. So that's a pretty significant result. Now they asked the team, hey, what do you think of what we're getting from the vanilla group? And they're like, we don't know what we got from them. But that's because it's a link. And they're not looking like, oh, what's the source of this and who did it? And who? I mean, they're just like, they open it up, they look at it, they look at a few things, and then they call it. And it turned out great because we already qualified it and teed it all up for that. But they weren't necessarily going back a few layers and, you know, what's the origin and what? How did this get to here and all these things. So, you know, and also there's multi-touch efforts where, you know, somebody comes from, you know, five different touches, five different interactions. And, you know, an average sales rep's not going to get in there and look at all the history and all the stuff they've done. And some systems are easier than others to do that with. But, you know, how are you going to communicate that information to them? So one of the things I know that really helped is to, you know, rather than having them not do what you want them to do and they're mad at you because you're not doing what they need and creating a conflict, you know, create, like one thing to do is you could create like an information sheet about a certain effort. Like, okay, look, we did this and here's all the elements about this. And this is why we targeted these people, and they fall into these categories. So this was the thing that they were interested in. So mm-hmm. you can open a conversation like this, or you could mention that. And just give them some examples of how to do that, because that's the other thing is how do you take that data and open up a conversation? Because it's still kind of a cold conversation, right?
Yeah.
So even though they might have had a lot of interactions with you, when it gets to a point where they're having live discussions, that essentially is a new call, a new relationship. So how do you open that up in a way that feels natural? So I find that giving examples and providing templates and doing things like that really empowers the team.
Mm-hmm.
I find that, you know, like I still get email, for example, that, you know, comes from somebody, you can tell they cut and paste a bunch of stuff. And, you know, they don't really realize when it comes over, like I use a Mac. And so Mac formatting comes over different than on a PC. And then it'll come over different on your phone or, you know, whatever you're looking at it. And so sometimes it'll come over in different fonts or even different colors that you don't realize. And, you know, you get this thing that looks like a ransom note. And you can tell it looks lazy and odd, and, you know, but if you create a template and they've got templates that they can use that are in real human language, you know, not the kind of templates that are just real canned, you know, using language that nobody uses in real life. But, you know, how to open that conversation in a way that is just real organic feeling and a really nice segue from the soft copy information they got into a live conversation.
Yeah. It's, I don't know if there's one size fits all for that. Right. as a marketer, I spend a lot of time with the sales team, and that I think that is one of the ways that I've been able to gain trust with the sales team, right? And what does that mean? That means feeling their pain. Sales is a tough job. A lot of people don't realize, like, sales folks are really risking a lot. Individual sales reps are risking a lot. I mean, of course, the rewards are there to compensate for those risks, but feeling, I think, spending some time in their shoes goes a long way to gaining the trust you need to sort of, you know, later leverage that sort of guide that you're talking about, right? So I build a battle card, and nobody's gonna read it if they don't trust the source where it came from.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like, they get it, and it's like, you know, immediately ignore. So
go ahead.
No.
I was just gonna say that ties back to your point about the data too, right? If the, you know, and this is sort of pretty in the forefront of my mind these days, just live in a world where so much data comes from so many different sources. How do you know what the accurate source is?
Right.
If people are skeptical about what's in their CRM, for example, or they're skeptical about what's in their individual lead records, then those are the ones that sort of get overlooked, that fall through the cracks, that sort of don't get the attention they need, right? Building those human relationships between the person who's ultimately responsible for what data ends up in the sales team hands goes a long way to building the trust for the systems that data gets shared through, right? Even things as simple as your Salesforce page layout. I mean, you put all the important information at the top of the page that you want to. If people don't trust where it comes from, they're not going to pay attention to that. They're going to look at the thing that they know, you know, is a good indicator of whether it's going to be worth their time or not. I know a lot of sales reps tend to favor particular lead sources, or, you know, as you say, they're not cognizant of the other folks that have touched that lead or that opportunity before it came to them. Well, building that trust along the way helps not only to be more effective as an organization, but it helps your customers to have, and we've talked about this before too, a seamless experience, you know, powerful, a really engaging, a really seamless experience. So when you do go from, you know, the ad that brought you into the website to the follow-up email that confirmed, you know, your conversation with the salesperson to the, you know, first touch sales team that's going to reach out and sort of make sure you're qualified, to the account exec who's going to finally follow up and close the deal, to the finance person who's going to make sure you sign the contract. If everybody on the company side is sort of aligned and in a place where they trust each other, then that customer experiences a very natural progression from having an idea. You know, this goes back to what we were saying before about, you know, having your purchase decisions made up front, having an idea about what you need in a product, and then, you know, trusting the place where you ultimately find that solution. And that comes down to the people you deal with, right? It's such a low-tech answer to a very high-tech world, but I really do think that the people holding all these pieces together are what makes it work.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. If you try to automate too much, it's like you've got to have a human involved at some point, right? And you've got to be able to have that kind of normal peer level one-on-one type of interaction with somebody so that it's effective. You know, like, for example, when I look at CRM, so we do a lot of work in client CRMs, and sometimes the data is splattered across so many fields that are not easy to access on a first view, that's one of the reasons that a lot of it gets missed. My belief is to keep all of the sales intel at an account level. And it's funny because I've talked to some people and I've talked to some marketers recently that they said, that's interesting because a lot of people don't believe that. But when the people that do believe that, they really get it, because I always keep the information at an account level, because we're selling the account, We're not, I mean, there are people and relationships involved, but the information that you uncover along the way is about the account. And
yeah.
So especially if you have a really long sales cycle, if you've got, you know, a 9 to 18 to 24 month sales cycle on these really large deals, you're going to have some turnover likely along the way. And so if your intelligence is assigned to, you know, Jeff or Mary or somebody that hasn't been there for 6 months, that's like, oh, they're not there anymore, right? And so that information's lost. But what they told you is important insight on the account. So, you know, kind of depersonalizing some of that insight and keeping it at the account level. And I'm a believer in you should be able to access a snapshot of that account within 3 clicks.
Mm-hmm.
If you, because that's the other challenge is time. And I know that sales organizations, they're under a lot of pressure. They're working really hard and they don't have time to spend, you know, dinking around in accounts, trying to assimilate all this information. And, you know, you've got this field over here and you got this conversation over there and there's an entry in the history here. And, you know, I mean, you've just got all the stuff that if you have a note block that boom, right there at the account that summarizes everything that's going on in there with a landscape of that account. And this is important in big deals. I mean, maybe if you're in some transactional type of selling environment that it's real fast moving and it's not like big money type of transactions going on. But if you've got a big enterprise deal going on, that information should all be consolidated and put right there at the account level. And it's really not that hard to do when you have a good workflow around it. Mm-hmm. And I know that the teams that have implemented that, it makes it so even though the players might change a little bit as this sales cycle progresses, the intelligence that you uncover along the way is not lost. So you're not starting at zero because Jeff isn't there anymore, or you're not starting it at you know, taking 3 steps backwards because, you know, this information, you're associating it with somebody that's not there anymore because they gave you insight about the account. Like maybe they told you what platforms they're running. You're learning a little bit about the culture of the company. And this is where we get back into soft skills, right? So, you know, they're telling you about the culture of the company. They're telling you about platform information. They're telling you about maybe, you know, some of the dynamics on the team and things like that. So that doesn't go away because Mary left the company. You know, that information has a very long shelf life. So you need to keep it in a place that is associated with the account. And that's a really big deal. I could see companies having much more success in their long-term engagements if they were able to take that information and that insight and kind of depersonalize it from the contact that they're talking to and say, this is what we know about this account.
Yeah.
Because that ultimately is what you're working on is the account. And then as people change, you're still gaining more and more information. So, you know, like there's accounts that we've worked on for a couple of years because sometimes, like, let's say it's a really large telecom deal and, you know, they're under contract with somebody, but, you know, you're having conversations and learning things along the way and you're learning who your influencers are and you're learning some about the decision process within there, but you're also learning things about the account. So it should never be that information is not available in a really accessible way. So I think that's something that companies should really reconsider doing if their CRM is not set up that way.
Yeah, as you were talking, I was trying to think, do I have a favorite CRM, right? If such a thing could exist. I've seen a number of different tools implemented. And I don't know that I'd recommend one CRM for all cases. I think there's enough flexibility within the CRM market space today that pretty much any tool you have can be customized for your particular needs, right? That's your, you know, lead management process. That's your sales process. That's the way your reps, individual quotas are set. That's the way your marketing team is structured. All that sort of stuff, I think, can be built into your CRM. Where I do often see a gap, and I always remember one of my mentors having said this. She was just a really, really insightful person, and this one particular that always sticks with me. She said, no matter how bad your CRM is, there's always someone who has it worse.
That's true. That's funny.
And I think that's the thing, right? Is like, there'll be a process of how leads are handled or how deals are handled or how accounts are worked that lives in the real world. And that's, it's not, in my opinion, maybe 75% of the time that is well reflected in the CRM.
And
I think where a lot of companies sort of have opportunity to drive efficiencies with their, you know, internal process is to have the system support the people rather than the system define what the people do, right? If there's a way that people are selling or, you know, generating leads or whatever, and that's working for the company, then let's customize the system around that rather than in front of how those people operate, you know?
Yeah, and that's true. Put, you know, barriers, because so many times the systems are a barrier. Yeah, no. I remember I did some sales training at a company, and I went in. When I do that, I'm always in their CRM and looking at what they're working with. And I remember this one in particular, I thought, wow, this is a really hard environment to work in, because it was just not intuitive to it wasn't intuitive to work in it, and it didn't really have the functions that you needed for a large deal. It had functions for small deals, but it didn't have the functions for a large deal. So, you know, what they needed to do was some customization work to be able to get that to support the requirements around that long sales cycle. And you're right, you know, the CRM is so important. And I've actually seen this, sort of resurgence in the CRM field. In for the longest time, it's like, okay, there's, you know, one that everybody's using and, you know, maybe a couple. But now I see so many different players with so many different types of solutions that you can really get something that is very suitable for your sales landscape and for your sales team, and with the right functions. You want to make it easy for your reps to be able to work in things. And I think, you know, sometimes the people that make the decisions aren't really thinking about the actual day-to-day use of it. Like, what's it like to live in this thing and use it to, you know, keep all of your critical information? It's like, it's not intuitive. It's not fun to work in, you know, not that your CRM should be fun, but it should be something you feel good about. It should be something that, and we recently upgraded a platform, and there were things about it at first that I didn't like, and we customized some things, and now it just totally rocks. And, you know, that was important, though, to have this functionality with our business. Our business is like this, and we need this. So as it is, like the way it is just out of the box, that's not going to work. But being able to add the things that our business model really requires made it totally, totally rock for us. So we're good. And I think that's something that is important if marketing people or whoever owns a CRM really understands, like, what is, you know, experientially, what is this thing like?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that brings up a good point, too, because I'm a huge fan of customization and sort of like really doing the deep work to set up your tools in the correct way. I'm also a fan of less is more, right?
Right.
The sort of catch 22 about CRMs is that, yeah, it's a great place to store everything. It should be your source of truth. It should be the central repository for all the information you'll create and acquire about your customers. But at the same time, it's also this sort of empty shelf of the shiny bells and whistles that you could ever imagine to sort of adorn. And, and I've seen a couple of organizations get really caught up in the accoutrement of their CRM. We've got a app for this. We've got a thing for that. We've got a, you know, piece over here that does X, Y, Z. And you know, again, just sort of circle back on some things we were talking about earlier is that if those apps don't do a thing that people understand or can easily get their minds around how that helps them in their daily life or in the task that they're being asked to complete, then that extra stuff is not helping. It's actually exacerbating the problem. You know?
I totally know what you mean. No, that's awesome. Yeah, and you know, I really appreciate a lot of the things that from the marketer's standpoint, you know, how you're viewing it. And I really appreciate how you're very aware of what the sales experience is and how to work with them and how to get them on board. So I wanted to wrap up a little bit, but in summary, like, what's a couple of things that you would recommend that people do, like right now, that they could fine tune? Like, we're still in Q1, you know, like what's a couple of things that they could look at right now?
I think the number one recommendation is to remember. You know, so if you're an organization where there is a formal sales team, and you have that as part of your go-to-market structure, sales team is not responsible for revenue. Marketing team is not responsible for revenue. Customer support team is not responsible for revenue. Everybody is. Everybody is at the company because that's the project they're doing. They're building a great customer experience that drives revenue to keep the company operating, to keep this great thing that we're doing moving forward, right? I think taking a perspective where we are all sharing the burden and the great joys in growing a company goes a long way to breaking down the barriers between, you know, traditional sales and marketing. Number two, marketing people, spend some time on a sales call. Just listen. That's all you need to do. You know, you may be working elsewhere. Just dial in. You don't even need to announce yourself. Just listen to what it's like. Walk a mile in their shoes. Salespeople do the same. You know, get in touch with an email campaign. Watch it be developed from, you know, twinkle in someone's eye all the way through design concepts and copy rewrites and, you know, infrastructure setup and segmentation priority and, you know, analytics and all that stuff, and really understand the amount of effort that goes into that one tiny thing that ends up in a million people's inboxes that maybe, you know, 200,000 will sweep away into the junk folder.
Right.
There's struggles on both sides. I think just taking a minute to recognize that everybody's working towards the same goal will take you not only through Q1 in 2020, but well into the future.
Yeah, and I think that's great advice is, you know, to really just understand the other side. And I find it very useful to listen to what sales reps are doing. You know, like a lot of times I'll watch it on a sales call. I can hear, like, what's the next step? What's the deep dive on this? What does that look like? What kinds of things are the prospects asking? Because that's going to tell you, if you understand what the prospects are asking, you know, that's going to give you content ideas. That's going to give you some other insights into that prospect that you wouldn't otherwise have. So that's really important. And for, you know, a sales rep to understand more on the whole content creation side and all of that, you know, that also enables them to give some input. And that enables them to be part of the process a little bit so that they can actually see what goes into it. I know, you know, maybe they have heard things, and that's the thing, is there's a lot of undocumented high value information that each team has just from working in it. And when you're able to be in a more sharing type of environment, that you can see, you know, by seeing what's going on the other side, that's going to give you a different vantage point of what you know. And then you can say, hey, actually, a lot of people tell me this. And that might not have been written down anywhere. Nobody knew that. So that's a really great thing to think of. Those are two great ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for the conversation. Again, it is always a pleasure. I'm sure we could talk for another, I don't know, hour or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we will again soon.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. So if people want to reach you, can they find you easy on LinkedIn or Twitter?
Oh, yeah. I'm not cool enough for Twitter. Find me on LinkedIn, Aaron Patrick Doherty. Please reach out. Happy to, you know, brainstorm through some challenges or connect you with some people that are smarter than myself, Marianne included.
Well, that's awesome. And thank you. I really appreciate that you took the time. And I think everybody knows how to find me. And so I'll leave it at that and wish everybody a great weekend. And Aaron, I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Marianne.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.